All right, it's been a while since I updated you on my dog, Walter. For those of you that don't know, this is my buddy, Walter. When you go to the pound to rescue an animal, if you've not done this, I thought it was a joke. But when I went, I had to fill out a survey, and they match your personality with the pets. Anybody? I mean, I'm telling the truth this time. Yeah, all right? And so... So there's hundreds of animals there, and there's like three that I qualify for. So I think this will be interesting. So they bring out this boxer, and the boxer runs around, jumps on me. You know, that dog likes a lot of exercise, you know. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. They bring Walter out. Walter looks at me, lays down at my feet. I said, that is my dog. So this is a picture of me and Walter in action. Walter's only awake about an hour a day, so you have to snap the picture quickly. And to get him very quickly. Now, Walter, right now, Walter is, he's watching. He keeps up with racing, baseball, the news, because I'm here. And so Walter will brief me when I get home as to, you know, all that's going on. But every time I see Walter, I say, Walter, you are the smartest dog I have ever seen. I keep hoping that at some point he's going to believe that. But the truth is, Walter's just not that smart. Walter knows about eating. Walter knows about the door to get out. That's about the extent of Walter's knowledge. And I realized the more that I read the Word of God, how little I really know. And I think I know all that. And then I get into a passage like I did today in Joshua 5, and I'm like, okay, 30 years you've been teaching and you don't know anything. That's the power of God's Word. That's why He's God and we just work here. That's why you never get to a spot where you say, oh, I've arrived. No, we are here today to renew our commitment, our vows to God. Now, when you do renewal of vows, there's a lot of reasons. Maybe there's been problems. Maybe you never had a big wedding you wanted the first time. Maybe you didn't have a reception. Maybe it's been 25 years or 40 years or 50. And my mom and dad just had their 60th. You know, there's a lot of reasons to renew your vows. But in God's case, the reason we need to renew our vows on a weekly basis, which is why we gather here, is because, to be honest, we're not all that smart. We're a whole lot like my buddy Walter. I think I know things, but when it comes right down to it, I'm really not all that smart. In fact, I taught Walter to play chess this past week. Now, don't be overly impressed. I still beat him 2 out of 3. All right, so, you know, I'm still a little smarter than he is. But in the 5th chapter, we're going to get into some things that are a little bit sensitive. I'm just going to say that up front. In 32 years of ministry, never once have I preached a sermon on circumcision. That will not be true after this weekend. So just buckle in, because I'll keep looking at it, and 8 times he mentions it in this chapter. So I'm like, okay, there must be a reason that it's there. So if you'll stand out of respect for God's Word, we're going to tackle Joshua chapter 5. It's a little bit edited on the screen. It's why you've got your own copy, because I just pulled out the stuff I'm going to highlight. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. And all the men said, ouch. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, remember this, they all died in the wilderness. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. The entire generation died, except who? Joshua and Caleb. All right, Joshua we've been talking about, Caleb we'll get to later. They all died in the wilderness after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness, out in the Jordanian desert, during the journey from Egypt, none of them had been circumcised. The covenant with God had never been put in place. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all those men who were military age when they left Egypt had died. Since they had not obeyed the Lord. Say that. They did not obey the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land that He had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us. A land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones that Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. That's important. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. That's the city they're in. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while they were camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land. Unleavened bread and roasted grain. You can be seated. All right. So you look at that and you go, what the heck is he talking about? Why is that chapter even there? And what in the world is Job going to talk about? Job's going to talk about a renewing of the covenant. Because there are three parts in that chapter. There is circumcision, there is the Passover, and there is manna. What's the purpose of each one? Why is this chapter there? Why don't we just go from chapter 3, where they cross the Jordan River, and we go to chapter 6, and we take the city of Jericho? The answer is because the covenant has to be renewed before they can go forward. You see, the covenant was put in place in Genesis 17. Please fact check me on all of this. In Genesis 17, God came to Abraham and said, "Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you and your people and your descendants. And you are going to fill the earth. You are going to bless the earth. And the Messiah is going to come through your line." And he said, "The sign that I'm going to give you, the covenant, the blood covenant between the two of us, is going to be the covenant of circumcision." All right? That's where this starts. So here they are out in the wilderness. And why does a generation die? They were disobedient to God. Should have been a 2-week trip to the promised land. Took 40 years. During those 40 years, all their animals died. All the people are going to end up dying. But during those 40 years, the scripture says their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. And God fed them with what? Manna. We'll get to that in a little bit. Okay. But when they get there to renew the covenant, God says, "Joshua, we have to circumcise this next generation." Okay. The shedding of blood. There's pain involved in this process. These are all people that were born out there in the desert. So some of them could be 40 years old. Right? Let me ask you something. Do you think if you were circumcised at 40, you would ever forget that event? Hence why it's usually done on day 2. However, in Genesis 17, God told Moses to have the male children circumcised on the 8th day. Okay, why? Well, we didn't know till 50 years ago. On the 8th day, a baby's body spikes in vitamin K and blood clots. Up until then, you bleed to death. Well, how do they do it on the 2nd day now? Because they want you out of the hospital. They give the baby a shot of vitamin K. But the body naturally spikes from, actually goes to 110% of the vitamin K level on the 8th day for a male. Huh. You do with that what you want. But the reason we're in this spot is because they've not kept the covenant. You see, why do I have to renew the covenant? Why do I have to go to church? Why am I here to worship and sing? Why am I here to take the Lord's Supper? Why am I here to serve? Why am I here to give? Because if we don't renew our commitment to God on a regular basis, we'll become disobedient. Well, how did that happen? Well, once they were not faithful to God in crossing the Jordan River, they start wandering out there in the desert. How do you know they were disobedient? For 40 years, they did not celebrate the Passover. They did not remember the greatest event in their history when God led them out of Egypt. We'll get to that in a minute. And they did not circumcise their children. So they totally forgot the covenant. Well, that would never happen with us, really. 50% of Americans that call themselves Christians don't go to church. I'm not talking about don't go frequently. They don't go. But if you ask them, "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian." What they mean is, I'm not Muslim. I'm not Hindu. When I die, there'll be some preacher, read Psalm 23 over my grave. But that does not mean they're a follower of Jesus. They've forgotten this idea of renewing the vows, renewing the covenant. So Joshua circumcises the entire group. There were Gentiles there too, by the way, that had left, that had come with them. And so everybody there, now this is not an equivalent of baptism, right? People want to draw that. This is only for males. So the covenant part of this is only for the male community. But the point is that the covenant is sealed with blood and the covenant is sealed with pain. Just for the record, adult men who have this done, it takes about a week and it's very painful. It's about a week of great pain. All right. I don't know if that was a testimony or that's all right. All right. You can look that up. But the point is, they would never forget the covenant they made with God. They would never forget. It cost blood and it was painful. So then we get to the Passover. What's happened to the Passover? This is the Jewish event. I mean, nothing's more important to a Jewish person then or today than the Passover. It was the night of the 10th plague in Egypt when God said, sacrifice a perfect lamb. Slit his throat, take the blood, put it on the doorpost and down the sides. It looked like a cross. And he said, whatever home I pass over, that's got the blood on it, when the death angel passes over, that house will be spared. But if the blood is not there, what? The firstborn son of that house will die. Now, there's a misunderstanding here. Because when you watch Cecil B. DeMille, everybody's a baby. The firstborn son. How many of you here are firstborn sons in your family? Yeah, you're all dead. Me too. Didn't matter how old you were. You could have been 90. You could have been 60. When the night of Passover happened, there was screaming and wailing and pain. Imagine the grief that you've gone through in your life, and every home in the entire country has lost their firstborn son. Because the 10 plagues, every one of those plagues was an attack on an Egyptian god, and the highest god in the Egyptian hierarchy was the Pharaoh's son, who believed himself to be the incarnate son of God. Does that sound like a story you might know? God in the flesh. Well, the real God in the flesh was saying, you know what? I don't think so. So what's born out of Passover? A great deal of pain. A great deal of anguish. Again, we sterilize all this stuff when we come to church. We celebrate the Lord's Supper with gold trays and we're in a nice building. But Jesus died on a terrible old piece of wood, a tree. We don't know if it probably looked nothing like the Roman cross that people use today. It was nailed to a tree. Right, they didn't take the time to make it square and nice and pretty. And it wasn't made out of gold or silver. All right. It was not pretty. But then when you read Paul say in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that Jesus is our Passover lamb. Oh, lambs are so cute. They slit the lamb's throat, my friends, so that the blood would cover the sin of the home. That's what Jesus died for us. So after an entire generation has gone, 40 years. 40 years without celebrating Passover. The first thing they do after the circumcision, they renewed the covenant. The second thing they do is celebrate the Passover to remember what God has done for His people. Good stuff, right? Now we get to the money. How about the manna? All of a sudden, it comes up. We're not talking about manna. That's back in Exodus. Manna is bread from heaven. All right, you know this story, right? When they're out in the desert for 40 years, they got nothing to eat because all their animals had either been eaten or they died. So they're like, we're going to starve to death out here in the desert. God said, don't worry, I will send you manna, little flakes. They made them into some kind of a flour. They would bake them. Some people, here's pictures. We don't know what it actually looked like, but some say that it looked like that. They went out and picked it off the ground. You know, it tasted like coriander seed. I don't know. I don't know what it was. But all of a sudden, Joshua just throws that in here and says, oh, and by the way, the day they got to the promised land, the manna stopped. Huh. Why? Well, because now we got food to eat. When they get to the plains of Jericho, there's fruit, there's animals. In fact, they were able to have the Passover. If they had Passover, they had what? They had a lamb. Well, we got a lamb. Let's have some fun, shall we? You paid full admission. Let's just do this. Here's what the rabbis say about this story. The ancient rabbis said that manna is such an incredible gift from God. Now, I'm going to have to just, you have to trust me here. That manna was a perfect product for the human body. All right? In fact, in some places it's called the bread of the angels. Because it would have caused no waste byproduct in the human system. If you could find the perfect food that was designed for the human body, there would be no waste. You would not have to dispose of anything. Your body would use everything that you put in if you had the perfect food. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? The rabbi said for 40 years, they did not use their bowels. Now, you can ponder that. All right, this really comes into play. Remember when they started screaming, God's providing them manna, and they said, we want meat to eat. And God said, I'll give you meat. And he sent quail, low-flying quail. They could grab them. They could eat all the quail they want. But your body has never had meat. I'll let you ponder what that next morning might have looked like. God said, I'll make you sick. Well, they got sick all right. All right. 40 years, they've been eating God's food. They've been eating a perfect food. Is that possible? Well, why isn't it possible? Why isn't it possible for God to create the perfect food? And how else would they live for 40 years out there in the desert if they don't have the perfect food? If they don't have the right food that's going to provide the vitamins and the minerals and everything that they need, enough caloric intake. Somehow, God put it all in there. Since he made man, that doesn't seem to be all that complex, does it? Clothes didn't wear out. Shoes didn't wear out. The food is perfect for 40 years. In fact, when they got to the promised land, when they got there, crossed the Jordan River, and they have the Passover, it is my contention that for most of this generation was the first time they'd ever eaten anything besides manna. And they, what do they have? They have the Passover feast. Why? So they would never forget it. Wow. All I've ever had is manna. It took care of me. I was fine. But then we had the Passover feast where we remembered that God paid the ultimate price, that the lamb was sacrificed, the blood was put over the door. So, what's the purpose? What is the purpose of circumcision? What is the purpose of Passover? What is the purpose of manna? The answer is all the same. It's all about renewing a vow and a covenant that we made with God and understanding that the covenant comes at a very high price and a very painful price and a very bloody price. And nobody wants to talk. I know it's not politically correct, and you know how much I don't care. Churches don't want to talk about the blood. I serve an all-loving God. He wouldn't let 6 million people die out in the desert. Well, read the book. I'll let you decide for yourself. You read the book. In fact, these were his chosen people that he let die in the desert. Why? Because they were disobedient to God's word. What's the purpose? It's to renew my vows. Why am I here to worship? Because I need to renew my commitment to God. I need to take a review. Why baptism? Because I need to remember my commitment to God. Why the Lord's Supper? Because I need to remember my commitment to God. Why do I write the tithe check? Because I need to remember my commitment to God. Why do I serve and go and help kids in Appalachia? Because I remember my covenant that I made with God. That I remember that there is a God who loves me. And Scripture is really clear. Very clear. Acts 4:12. There's only one name under heaven by which we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus. I didn't write it. I'm just the reporter. All right? There's only one name under heaven by which we must be saved, because there's no one else qualified. Nobody else paid the price. Jesus did not die on a gold cross. He was nailed to a tree. He had been whipped severely. They drove thorns into his head, drove nails into his hands. He's suffocating. Heart's about ready to explode. All that's the physical stuff. And on top of that, the reason he's there is because he's taken all of our sins. He's putting his blood over our doorpost. He's saying, I am your manna. I will provide for you. He's saying, I am your circumcision. I will be the blood that was shed. I am your Passover lamb. It's my neck that's being cut. So don't let your Christianity get sterilized by thinking, well, it's about looking good. It's about coming to a pretty building. No. Christianity has a bloody past. The covenant has always been about blood and sacrifice, because that's what it took to cover up our sin. Listen, if you need to accept Jesus, there'll be people up front. There'll be people down front on this side to meet with you, to pray with you. If you're Palm Bay or DeLand, there are folks out in the lobby to meet with you. If you're online, there are people monitoring. You can write in online and say, hey, I need some of this. I need to renew my commitment. I need to accept Jesus. Or I need to get back and be faithful to what God's called me to do. If you're a guest, there's a room called The Link behind that wall right there. I'll be out there after the service to give you some gifts and to pray with you. I don't know what the renewal of vows looks like for you. I got my own set of problems. Commitments that we've made to God that we need to go back and say, wow, I need to step up on that one. Or, how did I get here? Do you think somebody after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, do you think anybody said, dang, we used to have cows and sheep and we used to have a great relationship with God? Hopefully, they at least taught their own children that when you get the chance to be faithful to God, don't miss that opportunity. Father, I pray that today we would renew our vows, that we would recommit afresh to the plans that you have for us, the plans that we know we've been called to. Some, it's for the first time. Some, it's to step up to accept you, to turn away from sin and to repent and to be baptized. For others, it's to live up to the commitment that's been made. Others are here today holding on. They've made the commitment, but they're scared because they're in a tough place and they need help from heaven. Father, there's so many things playing out. And I think about the story out of Spain every year where people run with the bulls. And every year people are amazed when they get hit with a horn. Well, God, we've all been hit with enough horns to last a lifetime. What we'd like to do is run with you. So here today, we come to renew our vow of commitment to you in Jesus' name.